Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop. I'm talking with Thomas Youngblood from the band Camelot. You've probably seen them several times in Seattle, but that was before the pandemic. They have a new live album proving that they are kick-ass live. I Am the Empire live at the 013. It's available on Napalm Records. First off, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? How have you been the last few months, rather?
What's happening, Kevin? We're doing good, actually, considering everything. You know, normally we would be writing at this point, so
okay.
We're kind of fortunate compared to a lot of bands that have normally been touring at this juncture. But we're doing good. We're focusing on writing for the new record and promoting the live CD and DVD Blu-ray, and it's been awesome. I mean, the response to this release has been, you know, beyond my expectations. So it's, the timing is obviously really good for it since there's nothing going on for live shows, and not that we planned it that way, but we're kind of fortunate, I think, in that aspect.
Well, that's actually a good point. Is I didn't think about it that way. Is like there's no live shows, so if you want an actual like immersive live show, you can buy the Blu-ray or buy the CD and just kind of close your eyes or open them if you're at the Blu-ray, drink a beer, and just, you know, imagine you're there at a Camelot show, which is as best as we can do right now, which is a positive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we definitely tried to kind of capture that sense of being there, whether it's like the audio or the visuals. I mean, it's tough times for everybody. And I hope that, for at least, you know, for Camelot fans or fans that are just finding out about the band, that this is something that, that helps, you know.
Absolutely, man. So you said that you're kind of in the thick of like recording right now. Can you give us a hint as like maybe just a couple, words as what we can expect?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we've never had this much time to work on new songs, probably in the last 10 years. So it's
cool.
We had like ideas for 25 different songs, but we've whittled that down to like 13, 14 songs. And it's a lot of good music, I think, you know, and I can say that because I'm not writing it all, so it doesn't sound conceited, but, you know, Tommy, our singer, has been writing a lot, our keyboard player, Oliver, we've just all been collaborating together on it. It's exciting. We're not sure if it's going to be a concept record yet or not, but that's stuff that we're talking about right now.
Cool, man. Well, I'm stoked to hear it, and I'm curious about, you know, you did mention that it's like hard times for all of us and everything. Aside from the band, you know, aside from music, and when you're, I'm assuming you probably have a lot of, or at least more free time now. How have you been staying sane as far as like your personal like time and your own? Are you reading books? You doing art? Or are you just kind of watching movies? What have you been doing to stay busy and sane?
Well, I mean, I have been working on new music, but also, you know, I have a family, so I've been actually spending a lot of time with family, which I, you know, more time than I normally would, which has been great.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are into a lot of sports, so I've been doing a lot of things with them in their sports and everything, and just being a dad, it's been awesome, actually. And I think it's been good to kind of recharge my battery. So this whole thing outside of, obviously, the economic and the lives that have been lost, the whole whole thing has been kind of good for me in terms of, you know, you're having a little bit of a break. So when things come back around, and probably in mid-2021, whenever hopefully we can start touring again, it's going to be, everybody's going to have their batteries recharged for the next round.
Oh man. And that first like round of shows and those first shows, people are going to be so stoked to see live music.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be as stoked as we are. Cause we're dying to play again, you know?
Absolutely, man. I bet. Yeah. That's going to be awesome. Now I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe like your early days of like growing up and what got you into music. I was curious, like, what was the first like kind of light bulb moment where you heard rock and roll music, or, you know, just music in general? And what was like the first band for you that did that?
Yeah. I mean, I moved to Tampa when I was like 12, 13, and then I started getting into metal, like probably around 14, 15. And I like bands like Maiden and Priest, and then a local band called Avatar, which eventually became Sabotage.
Yeah.
We used to go see, and they were kind of like that was the band that I said, okay, they're doing this outside of the U.S. If I want to start a band, I have a good role model here in terms of like they've done it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of used them as my role model in terms of going, okay, you know, obviously musically they weren't such a big influence, but just in terms of like being a band from Tampa, that was like huge for me to see that I can do something more than just play at a local bar or something. You know? So that was probably the light bulb moment, was kind of seeing this band get signed to Atlantic and then, you know, move on from there. You know, what's happened with Sabotage. Eventually they basically became Trans-Siberian Orchestra, really. So that was kind of cool, you know, at least that was a great influence. Also, Crimson Glory was a big influence on us in the early days, since they were also from Tampa. And all of those guys in those bands, including Saigon Kick, I'm now really good friends of mine, which is kind of cool.
Hell yeah, man. So I'm curious, maybe if you could mention a few albums that made like a positive impact on your life growing up.
Yeah, I mean... for sure, Yngwie's Rising Force was okay. Massive to me. Number of the Beast from Iron Maiden. Anything from Queen, pretty much, other than maybe The Game. I loved Queen growing up, Kansas, bands like that, Rush. There's just so much. I mean, I was just soaking all this stuff up as a kid, you know, or young adult, whatever. But, And I always encourage, even, you know, my kids as well, is like, listen to all kind of music. Don't just listen to one genre. Mm-hmm. My daughter likes the Beatles. She's 17. She likes the Beatles. She likes Louis Armstrong. She likes pop music, AJR. So it's really cool. I think it just lends itself to having an open mind about not just music, but, you know, life in general.
You know, it keeps you well-rounded. What was the first time that you, as far as like, becoming a guitarist, did your parents buy you a guitar? Did you save up money to buy yourself a guitar? And what was your first guitar?
Actually, it was a Christmas present. My cousin worked at a music store here in Tampa. I moved to Tampa when I was younger because of my father passed away. So I was living with my aunt.
Yeah.
And her daughter worked at a music store. And that's what I got. I think I was like 14 or 15. I got this guitar. And before that, I played saxophone, and so guitar was way cooler.
Yeah,
and it just kind of went from there. I invested in some recording gear back then, and a drum machine, and pretty much learned a few things like Iron Maiden songs. But then I started writing my own songs pretty quickly, and that I think that was, you know, that was the genesis of what was to come.
Right on, man. Okay. Well, now that we kind of have a little bit of background, I want a curveball here. What is one album or something that you love that like the average Camelot fan would be surprised that you're into?
I really like the latest Avicii record.
Okay.
It's called Tim, I think. It was songs that he was working on before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then some collaborators kind of finished it. I love that record.
Some EDM,
I guess that would probably surprise some people. But I mean, the chords and the melodies are there, you know, regardless of the, that's what songs are, you know, these chords and vocal melodies, whether you have like an EDM beat underneath that or a double bass drum beat.
Yeah.
This is a song. And then, but there's something about the, I love the way the chords that he uses on some of the songs.
All right, so I'm curious. We all know what they claim was the big four of American thrash metal: Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth. Aside from Camelot, in your opinion, what is the big four of power metal?
Aside from Camelot,
or you can include Camelot in there if you want.
Big four of power metal. I mean, you got to bring. I guess Halloween probably. Stradivarius. Those two are the only two that come to mind. Obviously, I mean, maybe my buddies in Dragon Force. I can't think of any other bands from that. I'm sure I'm
totally Manowar?
Missing somebody. Manowar is not power metal to me. They're more
okay.
I don't know what you call that. I wouldn't call them power metal. I mean, Sabaton is probably power metal, so maybe Sabaton.
Fair enough. Well, let's throw Camelot in there for fair measure. That's a question. Like, do you consider, if you don't consider Manowar, and you obviously, you know, you've had a lot of experience with this, do you consider Camelot a power metal band, or do you?
I don't actually.
Okay.
But we get termed that term all the time, so. I consider Camelot a symphonic metal band, but we have influences of power metal for sure.
Okay.
We have progressive influences. We have, you know, straight rock influences. So when I think of straight power metal, though, I mean, a band like Halloween, they kind of do their thing, and that's what
totally.
They do. And there's not much, you know, you won't find like a piano ballad on a Halloween record. I don't think, you know, stuff like that we do that I think makes us not straight power metal.
That's a good point, man. It's good to have that distinction there. So appreciate you kind of breaking that down for me. I got one last question for you. And if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it. Again, we're talking with Thomas Youngblood from Camelot.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a scar on my right wrist that was one, vein away from my lifeline. I had broken a glass window when I was 10 years old because I fell on my bike and I went to knock on the door. It was locked and nobody answered the door. So I put my fist through it and almost like a triangle, the glass went straight down and cut my wrist and blood was all over the ceiling of the patio. And then we rushed to the hospital and there was towels wrapped around my arm.
God,
like,
damn.
Probably like a foot deep, and you could still see the blood coming through it. I remember that like it was yesterday.
That's so brutal.
But I have a lot of scars, so that's one of them.
Can you still see it pretty prevalently?
Oh yeah, you can still see the scar on my wrist.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.